Bold and Blonde. We're back.
Hello there.
Hello. I'm Melody Judge.
I'm Courtney Bieber.
And you're listening to Bold and Blonde on a very, very rainy day.
Rainy and windy.
And it just seems nasty. I did not want to get out of bed this morning. I just wanted to stay in bed.
Me too. Oh. But I had to be up at 5 and take the kids to school.
Oh.
Taking the god kids to school.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was rainy and just crappy.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's spring.
Yes.
It's to be expected.
At least it's not snow. At least, because I think it was a year ago.
Yes.
In my Facebook memories, I think we had snow.
We had a snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm good with the rain.
Yep.
I'm good with the rain.
Take it any day.
As long as there's no tornadoes.
Right.
That stayed south and somewhere else.
Some people in
where we're at.
The Janesville, Beloit area were huddling in their basements.
Oh, boy.
Last night,
oh, my goodness.
But we weren't. So thank goodness.
Yeah. And nobody got hurt or anything like that. So, yeah.
No. And hopefully no turkeys are going to run across the lawn today.
Hopefully not.
Because then you completely lose me in the show.
I do. Do you want me to shut the blinds?
Like I said last week, I've never had a window in any of the studios I've been
never.
In. So now that I have one, so, there's a turkey!
There are no turkeys today.
Right.
I mean, there's a few guys out there, but
oh
I don't know. I'm
gosh.
So, I don't know.
Yikes.
I don't know. I'm pretty excited because at the Walworth County Fairgrounds where we record, and we are so lucky that we get to help out during Rib Fest, during the fair, during different events. Neon Nights is a new festival this year, which
yes.
we can't wait for that as well. Winona, Trace Adkins,
ooh,
and others.
Yummy.
Like, it's a huge lineup, camping on site available. But I do want to mention Brantley Gilbert tickets. Tickets go on sale this coming Friday, April 19th.
How fun.
Yeehaw.
He's good.
He's so good.
I mean, I'm not like Miss Country.
Mm-hmm.
I like certain country genres and stuff like that, but he's good.
He is going to bring, he's going to bring it.
Yeah.
And very loyal fans. I can't wait.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Yes.
It's going to be so much fun. So
I'm excited.
Yeah. So once again, Brantley Gilbert goes on sale Friday. Of course, Crowder is on sale and he's in concert September 1st. I should say mention Brantley Gilbert is in concert August 31st. And you'll see us there too. So
how
we
hard.
Can't wait.
And then you're going to have another one pretty soon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
we announced
okay.
the third and final concert for the 175th Walworth County Fair coming up very soon.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because I'm ready to explode.
I know.
Because I do know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was sworn to secrecy and in my firstborn.
Yeah.
Which you'll never get.
Because you love Henry.
But I cannot wait.
I know. It's going to be so exciting. We have such a great lineup. All year long, all year long for the best music on the grounds this year.
You guys always do. You're always killing it.
I mean, if you haven't looked at Ribfest yet, our website, the bands are up there and it's crazy good.
I mean, all
we
day
have a
music.
Chris Stapleton tribute act this year.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to
yes.
meet him.
Yeah.
I remember that.
It's
I couldn't.
So exciting.
And you took one for the team. We were doing the morning show. And you went.
No, this is another guy.
Oh, am I getting a little confused? You get to meet all the
I don't
guys.
Know. Like, I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
But this is somebody else. Because I was like, did I meet Chris Stapleton? Did I meet a trip? Like, what?
Melody's just so popular.
I just go along. No,
I just
go along with you. I'm just like, yeah, sure. That's me. Uh-huh. Not at all. What's been happening? Are you feeling better?
Yeah, it's pretty much just kind of like in the sinuses now.
I can hear it a little bit.
Do I sound even more like plonk?
But not bad. Not bad at all.
Just got a little sick over the weekend and, it's not horrible.
But hey.
Stuff is going around. For sure.
That's for sure. Saturday, we had so much fun at the ARC luncheon.
Yes.
To follow up on that, because I know that we were talking about that before we went and what a great turnout they have.
So many people, so many raffle baskets, so many people supporting a good cause for those with disabilities, special needs, you know. It was just a fun day.
It was a fun day. So, it was great. Beautiful weather.
Are you going to take me again next year?
I think we should go. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we should go.
Okay.
Definitely. Of course, we're going to go back.
Yay.
Yeah, obviously. So that was a fun event to go to.
Yes, it was.
And saw a lot of people that we knew.
Oh my gosh. I didn't realize that there would be that many people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was going to be that big at the Abbey.
Right.
It's huge.
It's like a couple hundred people,
yeah.
right?
I mean, I was like, dang, this is a huge room. There's just a ton.
Right.
So. Good people, good food. good everything.
Exactly. Exactly. So what else is going on?
Not too much, but I was going to say, after we did our podcast, last Tuesday, we didn't talk about Diddy, which we should have touched on.
Yeah. And then, I know we wanted to.
And then, I think it was the next day or 2 days later, the Juice died.
Oh, Jay.
I mean, I remember being, 12, 13, and it was a hot summer night, and I was watching TV with my mom. My dad was at work because he worked second shift at the time, and we watched this white Bronco drive for 3 hours on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? At that time, you probably didn't. Right. And now it's like, whoa, history.
Right.
You watched history.
Right.
You know?
Everybody, if you're old enough to remember, you are old enough to remember what you were doing when that happened. Just certain events, Michael Jackson passing, Whitney Houston, like you just know these certain events in your life, like what you were doing. And I was that night at a little dive-in bar / restaurant with a guy that I was dating. We're sitting at the bar watching O.J. Simpson being chased.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I wasn't even being chased.
And he wasn't even driving. It was, I forget who it was, right?
It was a friend of his.
Because OJ was making phone calls in the back seat or something. It just was so weird. I mean, it was like a 2 or 3 hour chase.
It was the weirdest thing.
And I remember my mom's like, well, go let the dogs out real quickly. And when I come in, they got him. Of course that would happen. You're watching this for 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then you get up and, oh, they got him. It was like, we now return you to previously programmed.
And how could you go back to your regular,
wait, what happened?
I'm just drinking beer. I'm just what is happening?
I was 13. I couldn't use the beer.
Like I was 40. No, I wasn't quite that old. One.
Right.
But yeah, I'll never forget. And
And then we didn't get to touch on Diddy. But what are your thoughts?
What did you say?
Diddy. I was my stutter coming out with the Diddy and a little Rain Man.
No, no, it was just
it's a little Rain Man stutter. You like that? Diddy. Well, sometimes I never. Is it P. Diddy? Is it Diddy?
I think it's just.
Is it? I mean,
I think it's just.
Is it Puff Daddy?
Boy, I don't know.
No, he's had so many different names, but I don't know what to think.
I have to tell. I used to like him.
Me too. Me too.
I don't know. I don't like him now.
I have a feeling there's a lot of actors, actresses, and musicians that we like that we're not gonna like.
Yes, they were saying that Kris Jenner.
Really?
Yeah, apparently Kris Jenner was in the hot tub, something in a hot tub there.
Ew.
Brewing up her daughter's release of her. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Oh. But now who knows?
Honestly, a lot of Hollywood, I think, are just.
Oh, I'm sure they're probably on pins and needles.
Yeah.
And what about J-Lo?
She's getting a little crazy.
I mean,
like her.
I know, but I mean, what does she, I wonder what she's thinking about.
Oh, because she dated Diddy.
Yeah, she's the one who had the gun in her purse, didn't she? At the bar or at the club?
You're so good. You remember all of these details.
No, probably because I read a headline. I don't know.
I don't know. I just remember they dated. So.
Yeah, yeah. So from there, so I don't know. Jury's out on that. What's going to be happening? And with Bieber, not brother Bieber,
not me,
not you,
but yeah.
brother Bieber.
Cousin Bieber.
Because he
Diddy
was
took
there
him under his wing, and
he was saying that he had custody of him for 24 hours or something like that. Did you see that video?
Yeah.
And there was another gal. There was a younger gal that he said the same thing. It was really weird.
Just weird
very
stuff is
weird.
Surfacing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's ironic, too, that it's an election year that it all comes out to, feel sometimes,
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not just musicians, actors, and actresses. It's politicians,
Of course it is.
Let's be truthful.
Of course it is. So. Yeah.
Yikes.
Before switching gears, last night, or Monday night, the WNBA draft.
Yes.
So exciting. Did you happen to watch it?
No, I was watching what you posted.
Oh, okay. So
I learn everything from Melody on Facebook.
Oh, no, you don't. No, I don't think that.
When it comes to basketball, I learn everything
from
you.
Good. But I just, the clothes that everybody was fire. So fire. And Caitlin Clark dressed Prada for the first time in WNBA history for the draft class.
That's the only thing I remember.
It was amazing.
She looked really good.
She looked so good.
Very good.
So good. So anyway, I just want to touch on that. Like, and Kate Martin, I'm so excited that she was drafted to Las Vegas. She just showed up to, she was there to support Caitlin. Mm-hmm. And she put her name in, you know, but she didn't think anything of it really, but right. So she was there. Right. So that's so exciting, but
very fun.
Anyway, so I just want to touch on their, amazing, and hopefully their salaries get raised.
Yes. Well, hopefully, you know they will.
I mean, you know, they will. I mean,
sure.
They have to, mm-hmm. I mean, now that they are seriously going
big
to be
time.
Bringing in money
yep.
and, sponsorship and those tickets are going to be selling. Yep. Her, jersey was the fastest selling jersey. Was it in history or for so many years, I don't remember what
it
was,
one?
But I didn't know because they were sold out.
Oh,
I looked later. I
thought you would have been on that.
I was. I looked a little bit and then I waited because I wanted to see what else was going on in the program. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was so like hyper, unlike today. I've calmed down a little bit, just a little bit, but we have a special guest with
us
today.
We should get to her because you and I are just like,
yeah.
I asked her before and I said, do you want to talk with us?
Yeah.
And the stuff. And she's like, no, that's okay. You can just introduce me when the time is right. And I was like, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Lisa Slattery, say the last name, Brooktrup. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I met Lisa, I don't know, years ago at parties with yep. former friends,
yes,
with, you know, and all I knew about Lisa was that you worked with two friends mm-hmm. of ours, and you worked with special needs,
yes,
mm-hmm. people, and basically getting them jobs,
correct,
and stuff like that. Are you still doing that?
Mm-hmm. I actually own my own business doing that now.
Oh, you do?
Oh, okay.
So I do daily living skills with them and job, you know, finding them employment and then staying with them on the job.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. So you're mm-hmm. not, it was United Cerebral Palsy, which is UCP, which is where you used to work, right?
Way back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I know it's changed a couple times.
Yeah. So that I started there. It's almost 15 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was a long time. I was with them for about 10 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you decided to just go out on your own? And
Actually, I was one of the first training development coordinators for Inspired Coffee down in Lake Geneva.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
Did I know that? Did I feel like I knew that? Or
I don't know if you did. I don't know.
I didn't know, and I love it.
Oh,
yeah. That's
yes.
so,
yeah.
That's very inspiring.
That is a small world, too, because of the event that we were at mm-hmm. on Saturday.
Right. The guest speaker, Sabrina, works at Inspired Coffee.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh,
she was probably one of my people. Sabrina is one of the people with special needs there.
Yes.
She was one of mine. One of my trainees.
Oh, really?
Yes. I love Sabrina. Yes.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to let her know that I met you and that you're
awesome
on our podcast.
That we didn't know that ahead of time.
Exactly.
There's a lot of things, a lot of times I don't want to know things beforehand because then you're not like, oh, wow. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. Or you might not, you would forget maybe mentioning it or whatever.
Right.
But that's so exciting.
That yeah. is. That's yeah. a small world.
It is a small world.
Oh, mm-hmm. awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you from Wisconsin originally?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I grew up in the Milwaukee area.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I just moved down to Rochester. It's 6 years already.
Okay.
6 years ago. Yeah.
It goes by so fast, doesn't it?
Does.
It really,
really
does.
It's
yes. crazy.
It does.
So that's pretty much all I knew. And I knew that you were married a second time.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know anything about your first husband.
Right.
And I didn't know anything about when you started writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about just the trauma
right.
and grief. And honestly, I was like, she's writing a book. Oh my gosh, there's so much that I don't know.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So
yes.
it was like, well, let's have her on the podcast.
Sure.
And just
well, thank you.
Have her tell everything about her book.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me
today. An author sitting yeah. right next to us here.
Mm-hmm.
Her book is called I'll Be Waiting for You. And it's sold on Amazon,
yes.
which is, I mean, it's just very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool that number one, that you did this and followed through and and here it is, you know, fruition. It was published October, correct?
Yes. End of October.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you said it took you about 9 years?
Yes.
To write.
Correct. Okay. So I started journaling and it really was very cathartic, helping me through my grief. And I had decided at probably like 3 years in of my writing that I was going to write a book because it was really hard for me to find a book that I connected with after losing my husband. So I decided to write something that was a pretty easy read because it's really hard to concentrate when you're going through something like that. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted something to help other people to go through what they were going through. And in my book, so I explain, I can pretty much relate to everybody in any kind of loss because I've lost about 12 people in about 5 years. And that's what is in my book. So, I mean, I've lost 2 brothers, both of my parents, my grandma, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, uncle.
Oh my gosh.
I like woke up and they were all gone. So yeah, so it was kind of a really hard period in my life. So yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just a...
So you decided to start journaling through your grieving process.
Yeah.
And then it's from there that you decided to write this book and help other people.
Right. And so in my writing, I put a journal at the end of the book. Okay. So when people are reading the chapters, sure, they can actually go through and journal themselves to help, you know, whatever they're going through. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really helpful to have that tool there for them, because a lot of times you're not thinking about that. And grief for me became really, it's PTSD for me because I had so much. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of diagnosed with the PTSD instead of the grief.
Sure.
Because there was so much. But yeah, I really think that whoever is going through anything, a lot of times, like, you can't find the gratitude in your day, mm-hmm, but I really, every chapter has a gratitude verse in the beginning of the chapter because I found gratitude in so much stuff that I wasn't even aware of, that I took for granted, you know, like things that my husband couldn't do after he had the cancer, you know, like he couldn't swallow his food. He couldn't taste food because he ended up having to have a feeding tube. So it's like the little things we take for granted in life, mm-hmm, that we really should be grateful for. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it really taught me so much going through this journey. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And I don't want to give too much away because I want people to read the book, but your first husband, you said cancer.
Yes.
What kind of cancer?
He had tongue cancer.
Oh.
And it really stayed in that area.
Sure.
It didn't really move until the very end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you guys when that?
He was 40 when he was diagnosed. Oh, wow. And then he passed when he was 43.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, and man. So, and you have 4 children.
Yes. So we had 4 boys.
And they're pretty young when that happened.
My youngest was 9 when he was diagnosed and 11 when he passed. And then my second son was 14 when he passed.
Okay.
And the other 2 were at Madison when he passed. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. It's tough.
So
at any
in
age,
your book,
though,
do you talk about your kids and their, yes, and how, mm-hmm, you've dealt with this and that type of thing?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I do talk about it. I say, you know, in my book, I explain how my kids basically saved my life because I was not having good thoughts after, because we were high school sweethearts and we grew up together. So it was really hard in that respect.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I also talk about the funny things that happened. So, you know, like learning how to tie a tie. Like, I did not know how to tie a tie. And I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do now?
With 4 boys.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. So I called on the uncles. Hey, you know, you need to help me tie their tie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then Ed would do, like, fill up my gas tank, and he'd fill up the windshield wiper fluid. So I talk about that, and I'm like, okay, well, I, like, puffed up my chest after he passed, and I'm like, well, I think I can do this. And then I felt so proud that I put just windshield wiper fluid, you know, in my car, that I posted it on social media for everybody to know.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So silly things like that.
No,
you know, just
I
little
love
things.
That.
Yeah.
I love
so,
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love that you looked at each day, there's a little piece of something to be thankful for.
Absolutely.
When the world is pretty much crumbling around you. And like you said, your thoughts maybe didn't go in the brightest direction.
Right.
Some days, you know, and we I think we know what we're talking about, you know. Right. But you always found some sort of gratitude.
Right.
And if you can do that, if you can wake up each day and just say, it's going to be a great day. I have noticed that whatever happens, and it's not always a great day, but it's still a good day, and you were able to get through it. Right. If you wake up and you're like, oh man, I have this to do and that sucks, and this person and that, you know,
right?
You're probably not going to have the best day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's like a mental.
It is. It's a mindset.
Cognitive therapy.
Yes.
So
it is.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. I would say, is there something that you say to yourself to get yourself, when you're going through this, to get yourself out of bed? And I know you said that your kids really, you know, were your inspiration and helped you through that period. But today, when you know, okay, you know where you're at right now emotionally. And, but what do you say when you just want to stay in bed? Is there something that you really...
Well, I kind of have a ritual every morning. Mm-hmm. So I wake up and I actually journal. I have a gratitude journal. So I write down what I'm grateful for right when I start out my day, which really just puts me in the right mindset. Mm-hmm. And then I love music. So music helps.
It sure does.
And it just puts me in the right mood every day. So I journal, I do my prayers, and then I turn on my music and that sets it gets your mood going.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good plan. And I think that other people could adopt that. And I feel like that would help as well. I've heard journaling helps so much. I just bought some girlfriends in my book club, actually, which I just stopped after the last 5 years, but not stopped reading. That's for sure. We're not going to do that. But anyway, I bought them a book, The Burn Book. Mm-hmm. Where you write down, like, there's a ton of different questions and you just are to be honest with yourself. And the directions are just like, you're supposed to burn it afterwards. And I guess it's supposed to be a very healing,
cathartic
process of, you know, and it asks some very hard questions in there and very fun ones and funny, but
I want to get that.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
That's
so
excellent.
Journaling does help. What I've known and have heard.
So I don't know if you guys know this, but I do public speaking. So I host events and I get invited to speak at various places, lots of churches and things. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm doing a series on finding your purpose.
Oh, okay.
And living intentionally. And I think that is key. You know, living intentionally is just starting out your day that way.
Yeah.
You know, so that you can feel better.
Yeah.
So raw in their emotions. Mm-hmm. It's really not easy.
Right. Losing a spouse. I can't empathize, but I can only imagine that that's got to be the most devastating. You know, I've lost grandparents, but they were older. Mm-hmm. It was their time. It was horrible, but, you know, such a young age, 43, you still have your whole life together. Losing a job, losing friendships, losing, you know, anything in life, I feel like... you have to have your purpose. You have to find your purpose again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like I do.
When we left a job, that was like a death of a job. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, what's your purpose now? I don't know if you know that Melody and I chose to leave a job together. You know, and it's just, it's like, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then you lose your husband. I have 4 boys. Now what?
Right. That whole navigating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really... You know, you have to find purpose in your pain. And sometimes, you know, that's not easy.
Sure.
You know, it can be more difficult for some than others. Mm-hmm. And some people remain stuck. And really, if you know, you have pain, but if you don't have a purpose with that pain, then it's just suffering. And why do you want to stay suffering? You know, like, why do you want to stay in that place?
That's
true. That's not really a good place to be. So I really...
So say that again.
Purpose. That just like struck with me. Like that totally really sets with me. Like that just really.
Yeah. So if you have pain, but you have purpose in your pain, you know, you make purpose from your pain. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have that purpose and you're just in pain, then you just have suffering.
Right.
So you you know, how you don't want to stay there.
No,
you know, most people don't, but some people do. You know, some people just have a hard time getting out of it.
Getting out of the grief. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And moving on. And it's not to say that you don't have days where you still grieve. You probably always will.
Absolutely.
But you have moved on and you're mm-hmm. successful and you're happy and you're remarried.
Yes.
We should touch on that too. I mean, that you found love after.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You know? Yes.
You're not just sitting at home like, oh, poor me. You went out and did something.
Yes.
Still made something of yourself.
And I, trust me, because I've lost so many siblings, and there's so many of us in my family that don't have spouses. So in my family, I mean, I have a couple sister-in-laws who chose not to mm-hmm. find another person in their life.
Sure.
And then there's some of us who have mm-hmm. in the family. And it's really interesting because it is kind of weird, you know, because we're so used to those people who've been there for almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. And now we're all like accepting these new people in. And, you know, I have to commend the people who are with somebody who is a widow or widower, because that can't be really easy for them either. Well, because you have this person who, I mean, we are always going to love the person who passed.
Right.
And they have to deal with that all the time.
I was going to ask, you got a pretty good one. I mean, John's a really nice guy.
He's great.
And yeah. I have so many questions about that. How did you guys meet?
Online.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. awesome. How did you know that? Did you even think, like, did you want to get remarried?
You know, I didn't even think about marriage, to be honest. Okay. I was never alone. Mm-hmm. So I kind of freaked out because I'm like, oh my gosh, nobody's going to want me because I have, you know, four kids.
Right, I understand.
I'm middle aged and, you know, my body looks a lot different than it did in my 20s. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what do you do with that? You know, so I kind of freaked out and I wanted to meet somebody really nice. Mm-hmm. And then you worry, you know, like, how are they going to treat you? You know, you just don't know what's out there.
Right.
So, yeah, I think I have a chapter in there about dating 101.
Okay. And it's weird because you don't even know how to date again.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, it's so weird. And then you have the kids to be thrown in the mix too, and their feelings, and it's a whole new ball game.
My kids didn't even know I was dating for a long while,
which I think is good.
The men back home, never.
Just kind of
mm-hmm. keep it. Yeah, it took some time, and you know, it's really interesting, the whole dating thing. I mean, I was going to dinner with friends that I thought were friends, and they're like, "Oh no, you're dating. If they're taking you to dinner, that's a date." And I'm like, okay. I mean, I hadn't dated. Mm-hmm. I never had to date. I met my sweetheart in high school.
Right.
So I never dated.
Right.
I didn't even know what dating was really.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So it was really interesting.
How long did you guys date before you got married?
Well, he proposed 3 months after I met him. And we got married.
He knew she's the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and was John married before you?
He was.
He was. Okay. And does he have children as well?
He does. He has two children.
So you guys, you know, you have been through. Did he lose his spouse or did they divorce?
They were divorced.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But still, that's a loss.
It is.
It's not
absolutely
a death, but it's a loss.
It is.
And there's a grieving period for that. So you guys were able to come together.
Right.
And you have something in common.
Yes. Yes.
And then, you know, he's got children too. So it's like, hey, let's all come together and become the Brady Bunch.
Right. and what was really cool is when we were talking, you know, online, it was like, oh, you know, my son is this age. And I'm like, oh, I have one the same age. And then he's like, oh, does he play football? And I'm like, oh no, this is the only one of my kids that didn't play football. I'm like, he plays soccer. So, but they were the same age. They're only a couple months apart. So we have like these two twin boys now.
You know? Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And now how long have you been married to John?
It will be 8 years this year.
That's awesome.
Wait.
No, we gotta think about it. That's okay.
It is. It's 8 years. Fine. But
it is 8 years this year.
It's funny. Aww. I'm going to be 9 this year. And sometimes I have to think about it. It's like, let's do the math real quick.
Yeah.
But 8 years. That's
8 years,
awesome.
Yes. So, and Ed has gone 10. So I met John almost 2 years after Ed passed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Talk about a little bit about your friends after Ed passed. How did that friend circle change for you?
Oh, dramatically. So I had a best friend that I grew up with, and her and her husband and Ed and I and the kids would spend all of our time together. And shortly after Ed passed, they ended up getting divorced. So it was really a weird time for me. Wow. So I lost a lot of friends, actually. It was just really not an easy time because I was just going through so much and my friendships changed. So a lot of people from high school reached out to me, which was really nice.
Okay.
That was awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that. They were just, I was so grateful for any, you know, communication with people and just getting out of the house. So that was great. But I also needed to be home a lot, you know, for my kids.
Sure.
So it was kind of challenging at that time, but people kind of were telling me what I needed to do too, which was, you know, I took it with a grain of salt.
I was going to ask that because I feel like a lot of people don't know what to say, how to act. We want to help, but what do you say?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you just don't.
It's like, just listen. You know, I think that's the best, is just to listen.
Yeah.
You know, say you're sorry and just listen. Because I know I had some people say, hey, you need to get a full-time job now because you need to make up for you and your spouse. And I'm like, I'm like, no, because my kids really need me when they get home from school.
Yeah.
And I will be gone like 70 hours a week if I'm trying to do
that type of work.
Right.
Trying to be a mom and a dad.
Yes.
You know, and this and that. And
So, yeah. So it was interesting. I mean, you get a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And I do hit on that in my book.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I talk about all the different things. I do talk about the difference between divorce and a death too, because, you know, a divorce, you have that person clearing out their half of the closet and they go.
Sure.
But with a death, like, his things stay until you clear them out.
Right.
So it's like you still have that scent there, but, you know, there's, what are you going to do with that? Right.
Exactly.
What are you keeping?
It's all on your shoulders.
Right.
It's all on your shoulders. Yeah. I think of my sister who just lost her husband, my brother-in-law, last year.
Okay.
And, so I feel like that this would be a very good book for her.
Yeah.
And I'm just seeing, and when you're talking, I'm picturing her and what she's going through. And so,
I'm sorry for your loss and hers.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to get that book for Connie.
Right.
And how did John, I pretty much know the answer because he's just a good guy, but how did he deal with, I guess, you on your good, your bad days? Because you were still, you're so fresh into the grieving process.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So he really was my rock. I really feel like God sent him to me right before my mom passed because I met him, well, at the end of August, and my mom passed in November.
Oh, wow.
And then my dad died 2 months after that. So he was like, stood up in the front of the receiving line with me. I mean, he was really a great, like, he really was my rock.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's things you don't think about when you meet somebody new.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, the headstone has my name on it. And Ed's name on it. And of course, why wouldn't it?
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, we have our children together. Mm-hmm. We were married and I'm going to be buried with him.
Right.
Well, John didn't think so. John was wondering, wait, you're not going to be buried with me? Like, what are you going to do?
Right. There's a whole new problem. There's a problem, whatever.
Right.
That needs to be addressed.
Right. So like now I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Because I never wanted to be cremated. But now I'm thinking, well, what are they going to do? Chop a leg off, put it in John.
Right.
Chop an arm off, put it with that. You know, like, what do you do? Seriously.
A little bit of this over here. A little bit of that over here.
I'm such a people pleaser. I'd be like, okay, yeah, which part do you want? Right. You know, like, okay.
Or just cremate me and put some ashes in there, some here, and then tell my kids to sprinkle
them. Party with you guys, you
Adam,
right?
yes.
And then, so do you go by, so Slattery was Ed's last name. So do you hyphenate it then?
I do.
Okay, because you want to give tribute to the fact Slattery and then John's last name. Okay,
right. And on my author name, I just put Slattery just to make it easy.
Okay,
yeah, because people can usually pronounce it easier.
And John,
right? Yeah,
yes.
How does John feel about that?
Oh, he's just fine.
Yeah,
he's completely fine.
You belong, you love him, not belong, but you know what I mean. You're coming home to him, and whether you have his last name or not. And,
yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's great.
That's
good.
That's good. Some guys, I think, can get a little bent out of shape.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a different last name sometimes.
Right. And
you, Melody, you've taken your ex's last name.
Right. Yes. I decided not to. And I told my husband, I'm like, you change your name. I'm tired of changing. You know, right. I'm not going to do it anymore.
Right.
I'm done. And you do the paperwork.
Right. Yeah. And I kept Bieber for a lot of things. Legally, I did take Eater. But for a lot of things, you know, it says Bieber. And then I'll see Bill go, your last name is really Eater. I'm like, it's Bieber and it's Eater.
That's right. So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you like your last name too.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
And it's your identity as well as your last, you know, as well as his last name.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I mean,
so I think the three of us right here with last names can kind of understand.
That's right. Yes. So you were telling us a little bit about your speaking tour.
Yes.
And were you just recently at Stillwater?
I was.
I thought so.
Yes, I was.
Love
a couple
Karen.
Saturdays. I know.
Karen
She's
and coffee.
Great. I know. I love that place. Oh, the building, the venue is so perfect.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. And she's great. Absolutely
it's
great.
It's one of our greatest coffee shop charms.
It really is.
We have a lot of good ones, and Stillwater's were up there with all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So where are you going next on your tour?
Oh, well, I speak this Saturday in the morning and next week, Tuesday evening, and I will be in the community room, actually, at Waukesha State Bank in Maguanago.
Oh, okay.
And it's a great space.
Okay.
I had no idea it existed. So it's wonderful. It's a huge room.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I'll have plenty of people there and tables so they can write and do all of the activities that I had planned.
And do you
so.
Need to purchase tickets beforehand or anything?
You do.
Okay.
Yeah. So
do you have the info for that?
I do. Well, if they just go on my email and register, it's simplebliss@gmail.com.
Okay.
And I can tell them the rest once they email me their name.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's from 9 to noon on the Saturday and then 6 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday.
Awesome.
Very nice. Yes. And where's Tuesdays? Is it
at the same place.
At the same location. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
That makes it very easy.
Yes.
It's very, very easy. Yeah.
And then there's another one there June 1st. And then I speak on the 27th at St. John Newman Parish in Waukesha.
Oh.
And that one, they invited me to speak there.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're a busy lady.
That's great.
I am. That's awesome. That's something, you know, what you've been through and you're turning it around and helping others through their grief process. So I think that's really, really very special gift that you've been given and use. What would you say to somebody that thinking about like on the author side, that's thinking about writing a book? Mm-hmm. How would they get started? Mm-hmm.
Just start writing.
Start writing.
Yep.
It's that simple.
Start writing.
Okay.
Yes. That's what I would do is just start writing. And when you get to the other, like when you're thinking of finishing, mm-hmm. I actually went on some writing groups on Facebook.
Okay.
And I reached out to some other friends who wrote books and I asked them if I had questions, what to do, how do I get an editor, how do I get beta readers, mm-hmm. all these things that you need when mm-hmm. you write your book. So,
right.
So it's a process. And you need to be patient.
Yeah.
Patience is really important when you're writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely do it if it's something that you're even remotely thinking about because
that's awesome.
It's really rewarding and you just, I love writing. I'm going to be writing more books for sure.
Yeah. So.
I was just going mm-hmm. to ask, is there a second or third book in your future?
Oh, absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I just want to write on what I speak about, I think.
Yeah.
So much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a romance reader, so I probably will write a romance novel at some
point.
So,
that's fun.
Right up our alley.
That's right. Yeah. That sounds exciting.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Lisa, is there anything that we didn't touch on that you'd like to mention at all?
You know, I think we touched on a lot.
Yeah.
I think we did good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to give you the floor if there's anything else that you wanted to tie up real quick.
No, I think... you know, the book is really great. Like you said, I guess I should say I didn't write the book. Like people will say, hey, you know, how many books have you sold? Or they are really curious. And I'm like, that's not what this is about.
You're not in it to make money. I mean, money's good, but this you, not
but
what you set out
But that's not what I set out to do at all.
Sure.
So it's really for other people for a resource. Mm-hmm. And that is the main purpose of this book. I really want people to get something out of it.
Yeah.
The good news, though, is that I have 14 five-star reviews already.
Mm-hmm.
And I have many wonderful stories from people saying, you know, my husband isn't a reader and he's read 3 books and I think yours was the third.
Wow.
And he loved it. And I have other people that, you know, the sister didn't go to church. She lost her son and she read my book, and now she's going to meet up with the sister at church again.
Aww.
So because I do
talk
about...
Okay, that's going to make me cry.
Well, it does talk about me losing my faith and then regaining my faith through the process. So, but it's just things like that that just humble me so much because I love it. I just love that so much.
And it shows your heart.
Yeah, I just want people to really use it, and I'm just pray that it helps them and gives them the grace to move forward.
Did the words just fall out when you were writing, or did you ever have like a writer's block, or was there any time where you just like, I just need to put this down, walk away and come back like a week later, or you know what I mean? Like,
well, I put it down a lot of times. The words just kept coming, but I did have to put it down just because it was hard to write because I was reliving a lot of it.
Absolutely.
So there were parts that I did definitely have to put it down during. Mm-hmm. So yes.
Mm-hmm. I love, you know, that saying, you know, you're talking and you're like, I should write a book. You know what I mean? About your life. And it's just like, and Lisa did.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like everybody has a backstory that everybody has their own story that you could write. Whether it's, you know, something like that, what you've done, or, you know,
and
about
just knowing you, Melanie,
your own life, you know,
I know you could write one.
Seriously. Probably, but,
I could probably write one. It's just like, we should just start journaling and we'll see maybe a year from now if we're published. Yeah. You want to write a book together?
You'd have to like,
right?
I don't think I am a good writer. Like, I don't feel like that I would be very good at it, but I feel like that I'm a writer how I talk, you know? So
She's
a good writer. So anyway, like, I don't know, but I have journaled before and that is very helpful to me as well. Yeah. So
you're
I don't
probably
know.
A good writer.
I don't think so, but I'm a good reader. And
well,
I cannot wait to get my hands on I'll Be Waiting For You, L.M. Slattery. Like I said, like your reviews on the book are outstanding. Mm-hmm. 5 stars and more. So so good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I went on Amazon before then. I was like, 5 stars, everybody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. I know.
So fun.
I know who she is. That's right. You better believe it's 5 stars. thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me and inviting me.
Thank you for coming on. We sure appreciate and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Once again, Lisa, thank you so much for coming in. And don't forget, Brantley Gilbert tickets, switching gears here, go on sale this coming Friday. Head on over to walworthcountyfairgrounds.com and get your tickets there. Gosh, that is going to wrap up our podcast of Bold and Blonde. As always, thanks for shopping at Melody Mart.
See ya.